familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
We know breastfeeding is a great way to bond with your baby, but what about dads and partners who aren't actually feeding the baby? What can they do to help bond with their babies in their own ways? Today, we're talking with dads about their personal experiences. We're the Boo Group.
I use a breast pump.
I hand express milk for my baby.
I exclusively breastfeed.
I use a nipple shield.
I breastfed after a C-section.
I use a milk bank.
I breastfeed in public whenever I feel like it.
I pump at work.
I breastfeed with a cover.
I breastfeed twins.
I give my baby bottles.
I made my own supplemental nursing system.
I supplement with formula.
I talk to my baby while I breastfeed.
I'm breastfeeding as a survivor of sexual abuse.
When I have extra milk, I share it with other moms.
We are equal.
We are
the Boob Group.
Welcome to the Boob Group. We're here to support all moms wanting to provide breast milk to their babies. I'm your host, Priyana Mard. I'm also the founder of the Moms Pump Here Nursery Locator app, which helps moms all over the world find great places to pump and breastfeed their babies. If you haven't yet, we encourage you to download the new Mommy Media Network app, which gives you easy access to all our episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, so all our latest episodes download to your mobile device automatically. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review so other moms can learn about us. Today we have a special episode. Let's meet the dads joining our conversation today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Wade, dad of three, serial entrepreneur since 21, and a killer cook.
Love how
since
short.
1921?
1921. Wow, all that'd be time. Centuries.
Well, I'm Johnner. I am the host of Parent Savers also. I think this is my first appearance on the Boob Group, and I'm very excited after
Welcome.
All right. Yes, very excited. So we have three boys, 9, 7, and 5 years old. And I think that we figured out that my wife was either pregnant or breastfeeding or a combination of the two at the same time for like 7.5 years straight.
Oh, my God.
So we went through this for a long time. We're out of it now, but lots of great memories and tips and something we feel pretty strongly about.
Oh, wow. Super mom there.
Yes.
Well, welcome you both. I'm so excited to have you both on. So this is a unique episode because we just have dads.
Sounds familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
So we have some news headlines to share with you guys about a dad breastfeeding viral video that was just released about a dad who was sitting in a restaurant. Have you guys seen this? He was sitting in a restaurant and his head was covered with a blanket just to show how ridiculous it is for a baby to be covered with a blanket while they're breastfeeding. And it had tons of hits and a lot of, you know, mixed responses from people, but people generally loved it. Did you guys get a chance to see it?
I saw it, and I started laughing as soon as I saw it. I mean, I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty creative. To be honest with you, you don't see a lot of dads doing that, but I highly commend him for doing it because, hey, moms get crazy flack all the time in public for breastfeeding, and really, there should be no reason for it. And people in general need to understand this is like normal. You know, it's normal. What better way to bring to attention than to put a big sheet over your head in the middle of a restaurant where everybody's going to be looking at you?
Oh, not even posting it on Facebook. Posting it.
He looks like a ghost, right? Like wearing like that white sheet over.
Ghost dad.
Casper the ghost.
Yeah, ghost dad. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny because I think that while breastfeeding and everything should be supported everywhere, on some extent, it's sort of comparing apples to apples because, I mean, it's a grown person eating. And I think that not that I personally am not uncomfortable with like seeing people's breastfeeding and like seeing the boob out and the baby on it and have done that with, you know, tons of people and seen it around. But I do think that there are people that aren't necessarily comfortable with seeing it exactly. And whether or not that should change or not, it's sort of the reality of our society. And so to some extent, I think that people do need to think about the feelings of others around them. But that being said, and so I don't know if just saying, heck, we should be able to do it everywhere is the answer or what. It certainly brings awareness and discussion to the topic. Am I saying something too controversial there?
I think you might be.
I think you just opened the door, John.
That's okay.
So you said you're not sure if people should be doing it everywhere. So what do you mean by that?
Well, no. So what I mean is like the reality of our society is that there are people that are uncomfortable with it. And while I wish that that weren't the case, it's the world that we live in. And so to some extent, you have to live in the world that you live in. You can't just say that the world is different because you want it to be. And I think that videos like this can help enable and make that change. But the act of covering up a baby, are there detrimental things to covering up the baby while it's breastfeeding? Like, is that a negative thing? Or is it just that the mom feels the stigma? What are they fighting against?
I'm not an expert, but from what I've read online and heard from other moms, it's like basically some babies are different. Babies are human beings. Babies have personalities. All babies do not come packaged the same. Some babies might not mind being covered up. Others are going to straight up take the sheet and or the nursing cover, and they're just going to just drag it away, throw it away because they're uncomfortable.
I would say for my wife, the nursing cover helped her, I feel, empowered to breastfeed in more places. But again, it'd be great if she didn't have to use it or feel so self-conscious about it.
Yeah, because you know what it is? Our society, like a lot of, you know, Western-based societies, there's a lot of, religious attachments to things that we do. And
now
it's
we're getting deep.
Yeah, this is my fault. Sorry.
It's embedded over time, over like, honestly, 400, 500 years. It's embedded in our culture. Certain things that are taught in our religions become a part of just mainstream society thinking. And one of those things are like, okay, women should not be exposed. You know, in over hundreds and hundreds of years, it's become so commonplace where if you see a mom out breastfeeding, you're going to be like, wait a minute, that's a little bit sexual. There's no reason for you to be exposing your breasts like that. Just cover up, be modest, and everyone should be okay. But then you have moms now coming out saying, I'm not here to please others. Mm-hmm. I'm just feeding my baby. There's nothing sexual about feeding my baby.
So I guess the video to me then, sorry, and I'm sorry to interrupt. I think
that's fine.
What you're hitting is like, for me, like the disconnect, to me, I think a lot of the issues with society is from more the mom's perspective and the actual breast as it is the baby actually eating. And so to see the dad eating like a ghost with the cover over their head is, I think, while it raises awareness on the topic, it might not exactly be the issue that we want to change. Mm. And yeah. To be clear, I wish that it was acceptable. But I know that it's not. And we should change that. That's why the boob group's here, right?
That's exactly. Yeah. That's right. You know what? I heard one mom made a really great point that no one else, well, that I've never heard anyone else made. And I was basically like, okay, I'm going to be, you know, the devil's advocate here, the big, I'm going to hate you in the room right now person. It was like, okay, I don't have a problem with you whipping it out, breastfeeding in public. You know, it's your choice. To be honest with you, it's natural. This is what she was saying. But she said she does have a problem with some women doing it out in public where there might be, you just don't know who's sitting next to you. There might be someone there who had a problem breastfeeding, who've been trying to breastfeed, just never were successful at it. And it's basically a medical issue. So she's coming from a, all right, this is going to affect that person mentally, psychologically. We're like, okay, oh my God, I can't believe she's there breastfeeding so normally, so easily. And I've never been able to do it. So right now I'm not comfortable with this. Can you please put it away? Because I'm hurting emotionally right now.
Yeah. But you don't know what people are going
through. No one's psychic.
But you go back to that point that, you know, you got to just do it for yourself.
You just got to do it for yourself.
Wow. So you guys, oh my God, what a deep introspective conversation over Dad's a viral video.
Welcome to my world.
Today we're talking about how dads can bond with a breastfed baby. So it happens all the time where the moms are the focus of attention, and we rarely hear about the dad stories, how they have struggled through breastfeeding, what their stories are, and the support they've received. Why do you think men aren't included in the breastfeeding conversation as much as moms?
Well, to be honest with you, dads are more proactive now than we used to be. It's like someone is saying there's like a reversal of roles now. And I don't really call it a reversal of roles with moms from the 50s or 40s or 30s being home, being the caretakers, taking care of the kitchen, taking care of the babies, you know, making sure that everything's fine. The homemaker, whereas dad was out working all day, bringing the bread. Now it's like, since the whole women's movement, sexual revolution, moms are working. There are homes now where the mom is the sole breadwinner, or there might be two breadwinners. Mm-hmm. So they share that caretaker role of children, where if mom is home, dad is out taking care of his business. If dad is home, mom is out taking care of her business, because both are equally active now in work and taking care of children. Mm-hmm. So dads now are an integral part. It's not like, oh, there's the dads. Moms have to do all the work. Dads are over there. It's not like that anymore. I know for me personally speaking, I do a lot of domestic things. I'm a serial entrepreneur, but I enjoy being in the house. I enjoy cooking. I enjoy...
You can really cook.
Yeah, check out the Instagram. I really enjoy that sort of stuff. It's fun. I enjoy making a great meal, seeing my wife enjoy it, especially seeing my kids say, oh my God, that was so tasty, daddy. And going back to way back when they were kids, just being there was like really exciting for me. You know, like I grew up seeing family taking care of family, especially babies being really taken care of from really young, tender ages. And that's something I wanted to do when my kids were born. I wanted to make sure that my wife, you know, that you had time to rest, that you had time to eat, that
was the second baby.
First baby is always like, mom is always hands on. Even when you try to help, mom is just like,
you don't know what's happening yet. You're new for everybody.
Yeah. You're new.
Jonah, what about you?
Yeah. I mean, so I think that, I mean, there's the really obvious answer that we just don't have the tools for the job. So it's really not necessarily our place to say, hey, here's some tips for breastfeeding from a male perspective. And I think in general, society is sort of waking up recently. And especially, I feel like with our generation of parents, this current generation, and probably a few years before us too, to the fact that, you know, healthcare companies, congressional hearings have a bunch of men making decision for women's, and, you know, women really being the ones to have the voice now. And should. And I think in a marriage, and when you start having, if you're not married, or if you're just with your partner and have like a baby together, and you're really feeling out your roles. And so, you know, to tell someone who's doing the hard work of breastfeeding, when the dad can't even do it, to really start, as I call it, like spreading the knowledge and saying, well, here's how it should be. It's a really difficult position for dad. So I think that, you know, we are happy to take a back seat in here and be as supportive as we can, and we want to support, but I think we also don't want to overstep our bounds, especially with something that we don't even fully understand. Like, I literally can't imagine having breast milk come out of my nipple and feeding a baby. Like, it's really hard to imagine. I know it works, and it's it's amazing, but yeah. I can't imagine it. So I think a lot of it is just following our partner's lead, the ones that are leading the breastfeeding charge.
And you know what, John, I believe mentioning not having the tools for the job and taking a back seat. I remember, I think you guys covered this in a previous podcast about a dad in England, I think it was, when he did try to take the front seat and he tried to offer breastfeeding advice. Moms came out like attacking him, like, who do you think are?
Who was that?
Who
again?
Are you? You don't have breast. You didn't give birth.
It was Jamie Oliver.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Jamie Oliver.
Yes.
So yes. To be clear, I'm not here to give advice or to judge anybody. I'm here to have a discussion about.
Well, we're talking to dads. Yes. Today's episode is all about you guys talking to dads.
Yeah. And the second part of your comment, John, about not having the tools, it's like, we don't have the tools, and we really shouldn't try to act like we have the tools. To a baby, though, you know, when you're there in that moment, in that space with the mom, a baby can tell the difference between a dad and a mom, but sometimes there are little things that happen that make you say, wow, what was that? Like, for instance, when Priya was breastfeeding, I think it was Liam, our third. Uh-huh. Liam really had a huge appetite. But, you know, when she's done breastfeeding, I would take the baby and I would put the baby on my shoulder to sleep. But I guess Liam was not done breastfeeding. At that time, you know, there's one incident where I had on a tank top, or was my shirt, I don't remember, where I thought he was done breastfeeding. He went straight for my chest.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I think they love nipple. They're just looking for nipple.
He went straight for my nipple. I'm just like, no, dude, I don't have breasts. But then again, I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know what? That's one of the side effects of being a dad with newborn kids. You tend to like let go of yourself a little bit, and you start growing that, what they call now, the dad bod. Uh-huh. Dad bods have always been around. But he didn't, at that moment, he couldn't tell the difference. So he went straight for it, and I found it comical. I found it so funny. But then that just told me that, hey, listen, you know, moms, you guys have the tools. Like you're saying, Johnner, they have the tools. They have.
No, but you just brought up a very good point. After the breastfeeding was done, you put him to your skin.
Exactly.
To bond.
Because, you know, they need to know that there's a dad there too. It's nice to know that, oh, I have mommy. They can smell mommy. They know the feel of mommy. Mm-hmm. But also bonding with the dad is really important because, hey, when mommy is really exhausted, mommy's really tired, it's nice to know that there's that backup, that supportive backup that they can go to and not cry when you put them on your shoulder. So it's really important for them to be there with their dad too.
So, Jonah, what obstacles? So you said your wife breastfed for 7 years straight. Wow. That's amazing. What kind of obstacles did she have?
So my wife, it started with the first, and especially like, and it was a unique obstacle, and it was a thing for her to support, where she had too much breast milk. A lot of the focus on breastfeeding and the support groups that she ran into were for people that were having trouble getting it started or were having trouble. But her thing was, and I mean, I will never forget like the first time, like, her just the veins on her boobs, and they were just engorged and gigantic and like milk squirting everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was really, really painful for her. And like, we can laugh about it now. At least I can. Hopefully I think she can too. But like, to the point where like, when she would take off the, when she'd go to breastfeed our first and would take off the, Lanceno, the pad or whatever, like she'd be spraying the baby all over the face because it's just, the milk is just ready to come out. And she had so much milk. And so I think that was like, that was our obstacle. She was in constant pain and constantly spraying the baby's face with milk because she had so much of it. But I think that, I mean, just in general, and especially with our first, I wanted so much to be able to help her and be a part of everything that I could. I mean, although it was nice when I was able to sleep while she would get up and breastfeed, and I said, all right, you got this one. But I mean, you want to be there for each other. And really, we're a team doing this baby, but that's something that, you know, I can't be a part of. But so I can help get the breast milk bags in the freezer if she was going to pump because we had too much, or, you know, help if we're going to do a middle of the night feeding and somehow she wanted to pump and save some so she could have some at work, you know, do a feeding in the middle of the night. But a lot of our obstacles had to do with having too much milk. And, you know, there's a lot of things that come with that as well.
Wow. And seriously, bless you guys for that, because on the opposite spectrum, there are those moms who barely produce enough milk.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And to your point, being there for your wife, being so close, being so supportive, that's a really...
It's teamwork. That's the key word.
Seriously. Like, I commend you for that, man. Because it's, and think about this. When you're not at home, when you're away in those months following after childbirth, when you're away, dads have to be there also with moms on the go. And to have a wife who's producing so much milk, she's going to need, like, you know, some sort of extra hand.
And for us, there was always a puzzle too that I think that a lot of, like, my wife worked as well, so we were both working, and so and this is if, like, the wife seems to travel or whatever, but it becomes a puzzle of, like, the breast milk supply and either sending – if you're sending the baby to the kid to a daycare, or if there's someone that's, like, a babysitter that's watching it, or if she's got to go to work and I'm watching it, and just managing the breast milk supply. And it's just a big giant puzzle of, you know, frozen breast milk and what's the date on this one and all this stuff. And I think figuring out – and, okay, do I have the ice pack in the cooler and I don't want to ruin the breast milk?
So that's a great point, Joner. So what happens when things don't go quite as planned for dads and they feel left out of all the baby excitement? Because I know that happens. How can dads bond with their breastfed babies? We'll be right back. Welcome back. Today we're talking about how dads can bond with their breastfed babies. How we have two fabulous dads joining us today, Wade and Joner. So now that you've supported your wives while breastfeeding, what about you guys? You can't physically breastfeed. What can dads do to bond with a breastfed baby? Dads, what do you think about bonding with your baby?
Skin to skin contact.
Yes.
I mean, that is, you know, whenever we could get that for me and any of my sons, it was great. And so whether it was just either laying on the couch and making sure that we had some time just together, snuggling a bit. But also one thing that, you know, sometimes if Christina had to get up in the middle of the night and do a feeding, or she did a feeding during the day, as soon as the baby sort of comes off, do a little bit of a transition so that instead of snuggling with mommy right after, there's a little bit of daddy snuggly time too, which is really nice. And I think she appreciated it too, because then she's able to go back on with whatever it is moms do right after breastfeeding.
Yeah. And I agree with that so much, Jonna. And being that, you know, like me, we have three, and my second was the most challenging. And to be honest with you, I always tell my wife I got a lot of gray hairs from our second. And I'm still getting gray hairs. But it's so important because babies, it's all about the senses. You know, it's all about the smells, the feels, the sounds. And our second baby was a little bit more colicky. We didn't know why, but we eventually found out and it was resolved. But in the beginning, in those initial stages after she was born, there was so much crying. We really couldn't understand. And for me, and wow, I got to say, thank the universe for keeping me energetic. It's like after my wife was done feeding, the baby would still be crying. I'm like, why is she crying? I don't understand. So my wife would take the baby. She's still crying. She rocked her, sunked her. She's still crying. So I tried the same stuff. She was still crying. And eventually I did this one thing. I just wedged myself into a corner in the house comfortably because I knew I was going to be holding her for a while. And I stood up like on 2 feet, not sitting down, not laying down. I just stood up, put her on my shoulder and just leaned back in the corner. Lo and behold, she stopped crying. So we figured out she loved it when dad, not mom, not grandma, not anybody else. She just loved it when dad held her to his chest, stood up and stayed there for at least 5, 10, half hour.
And she knew when you sat down.
And she knew when I sat down. Don't ask me how, but she knew that this guy wasn't standing up. Why aren't you standing up, dad? Stand up now, please. And it worked so well. And that's why I was like, wow. It's really important because maybe it's not just mom all the time. There's something about some dads too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, you make me think about, you know, I mean, in other ways that like supporting the wife a little bit too, when you're talking about why is the baby crying? What can I do? Like, what can I change? I think that whenever some of that happens too with the mom breastfeeding, I remember going through like the checklist with Christina and saying like, all right, what did you eat? Like, what did this happen? What was this? And just sort of, you know, helping her troubleshoot any breastfeeding problems, it was a great way that like we could offer support as well. But then as far as like putting them in the corner, I remember, you know, as a way to bond too, one thing that I always loved was the chance to get to wear the baby in whatever baby carrier we had for a particular kid. I think we went through different ones for each kid. Maybe we settled on one by the third one. But, you know, that's just another way, I think, to literally help ease the load off your wife and also have some time kind of right there with the baby and have the baby close. It is a good way to bond. So while we can't do the feeding, there's so many cool ways to wear the baby that is really fun for dads. That's something I always really enjoyed doing and I think really helped create that bond.
Oh yeah. And you know, for me, I really enjoyed those moments when I got to nap. But you know, you can only nap when your baby naps.
So for me, like after mom was done feeding, after Priya was done feeding, I really took the opportunity to lay down next to each one of my babies and just take like a nice little power nap. And
that was that's one of the best parts.
Oh, yeah.
You feel like you're doing the right thing by napping. like it really, that's some of the, if you think about when your kids were babies, like just napping with them and knowing that like there's nothing else you want to or should be doing right now except taking a nap with your kid. And that's amazing.
And in a dad's world, that's perfect.
Oh, man. Yes. Yes.
Perfect opportunity. Okay. So we're talking about babies. So what happens over time as you're bonding with your baby? How have the relationships morphed and changed? How has the experience bonding with your baby while they're being breastfed affected your relationship over time? Because now you both have older kids. You both have young kids and older kids. How has the bonding affected your relationship over time?
Oh my God, I'm glad you asked that question. Because to be honest with you, speaking about feeling left out, bonding with your baby ensures that you're not left out later on as they turn two. Those terrible twos come around, those three-year-olds, four-year-olds come around. I found that for me anyway, being there for my wife and being there for the baby to hold them, to help burp them. When they got older at 2 years old, 3 years old, when mommy said no, they would come running to daddy. You know, because daddy somehow was a little bit softer. You know, dads just tend to fall for it, man. You know, whereas moms might say no, dad, especially if it's a little girl. She just becomes daddy's little girl. And I found that because of that early bonding, when they, you know, felt angered, when they felt scared, as long as I was there, they would just come running. They would feel no hesitation whatsoever. They would just come running into my arms, and it felt so good. You know, so I'm just telling all dads out there, if you're listening right now, bond, hold them, you know, joke with them, sing to them, make funny faces. It's all a part of the bonding. Put them on your chest, burp them. I did a lot of burping, a lot of burping.
Burping yourself?
Okay. Let me clarify.
Isolate that quote.
I did a lot of burping of the baby, not me. You know, that would just be just strange.
I think this is a really interesting question. Because I hadn't really necessarily thought about it. I think there's – and for us, a lot of focus was in the time that we were breastfeeding of how important it's going to be and how it is. But I think that now that our youngest is five, I hadn't really thought about the – not only necessarily the effects of breastfeeding may have had on his brain. Like we've kind of moved on from that in a way. And I know that like there's so many great benefits and that's why we did it. But I hadn't really thought about it. But also specifically to think about, you know, the bonds and what maybe – whatever we did to bond or whatever breastfeeding could have done for it. I think that I would just say in general, the way that we treated and approached breastfeeding and really just wanting to be there for him. And by the time that our third rolled around, we just gave him the boob whenever he wanted it. With the first one, I think we got a lot of advice from people to try and restrict it and keep it on a schedule and do it on a time. But, you know, you start figuring things out and what feels right for your family. And for our family, what felt right was being there for our kids. And I think that has really carried over into life a lot is the empowerment to, you know, that this is our family. This is our life. This is how we're going to treat the babies. And they're still our babies, even though they're getting older. And so, you know what? If the 7-year-old wants someone to snuggle with him at night, we'll still snuggle with him at night. Not every night. But we want to be there for him. And we want to be there for the babies. And I think breastfeeding taught us a lot about how we wanted to parent. And I'd say that's a way that it's carried over.
I agree.
That's an awesome point. That's an awesome point, yeah. Jordan.
Wait, did you ever try it? Did you ever try breast milk?
Hey, listen. No.
I did. You spray it on your to see if it's warm and you like lick it?
Exactly. Because I wanted to know. I was like, I totally forgot what breast milk is. I was breastfed. But you don't remember what breast milk tastes like or felt like in your mouth. I was just like, you know what? To understand something, to understand how to deal with something, sort of like immerse yourself into it. When in Rome, do as Romans do. You know, so, hey, I'm in a baby's world. I want to understand what the baby like about this thing. You know, why? So, yes, I did try it. And if you ask any other dad, they'll probably tell you, too. Yes, we did try it. You know, that's not weird.
Tastes like soy milk.
It does.
Soy milk. No, I wasn't like sitting around watching the game, taking a pull off the bottle like me and the kid. But
that would just be weird.
Tried it. I think you're right. Every dad's probably tried it.
Every dad, because other dads I've asked, they said yes.
Moms have tried it too, though, right? Priya, you've tried breast milk.
Default. I mean, you try everything before your baby tries it.
Even and also, I think as a dad, we might even drink it more because I got to make sure it's not spoiled or that I got it to the right temperature.
So you are chugging down breast milk sitting on the couch watching the game.
Like, oh, I think this one's off a little bit.
Okay. So this is a great conversation. If you were talking to a dad face to face about tips that they can, you know, use about bonding with the baby, what would you share with them? What would you tell them directly? Like your boy, you know, you're just sitting there, you're having a beer, you know, you have some time off from the kids, and somebody might bring up, you know, like we're having this really hard, you know, hard situation. I'm trying to find ways to bond with my baby. What would you say to your boy?
Basically, the bottom line is you need to be close by. You need to be on call. You need to be ready. You need to make sure that your baby can feel you, can physically touch you at all times. You know, be that backup for mom when she's done breastfeeding. Be that backup to hold the baby. Because, you know, it's like we've mentioned throughout this whole podcast, it's all about contact. And babies sense their parents. Babies understand that, okay, they know your sound. They know your smell. They know that, oh, this is mom. Oh, my God, this is dad, you know? Babies are familiar with the mom thing. You know, their moms are always there. But if dads are there too, oh, my God, that's just one huge added bonus.
For me, it would be, I think, I love the bonding for sure and the skin to skin, but, you know, it's kind of what I talked about. It's do what feels right and, you know, figure out what is going to work best for your family and just realize that we're actually all kind of idiots about this whole parenting thing and trying to figure it out. And, you know, babies are pretty resilient and it's going to be really hard to mess it up, but you need to do what feels right for your baby and do what's right. For you, that's going to make you feel good. So support your wife and get as much time holding that baby as you can.
Yeah. Just one last point. This is, you know, the 21st century. It's like we said, dads and parenting have come a long way. The roles have come a long way. It's like now it's not about just mom anymore. And people don't want it to be just about moms. Moms definitely don't want it to be just about them anymore. Moms want equal, you know, time sharing. It's like, I spend time, dad spend time. It's not 1955 where dad is smoking a pipe, reading the newspaper and watching television while mom is nursing or mom's in the kitchen or mom's changing diaper. It's like you'll see dad doing that too. And that's so important.
Wow. So this has been a really great conversation. It's been real. Oh, yeah. You guys are awesome.
Oh, we got real stories.
Thank you so much to you both for being part of today's show.
It was great. I'm like I said, we talked about the Boob Group for a while, and I'm excited to finally make an appearance.
I know.
Hopefully there'll be more appearances. I should be on more often.
Hey, it's good to have a guest dad every now and then, you know.
Of course. It's important to have you guys as part of the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you so much for sharing your experiences. So if you're a member of the Boob Group Club, then be sure to check out the bonus content for this episode where we discuss the use of the phrase, "we are breastfeeding" versus "my wife is breastfeeding." So now it's time for the Boob Oop segment, a funny segment where we include stories from moms and dads about their experiences breastfeeding. So today's Boob Oop story comes from Johnner. Johnner, why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened to you?
So my wife had a lot of milk. And so we have a freezer in the garage and a freezer inside. And so we would keep the breast milk in the freezer. And she was awesome with writing the dates on the bags and everything, and had it in the freezer in the garage. And so we had quite a bit of it stacked up. And so one morning, walked out into the garage to grab some, I think, to pack for the day to send the kid off to the babysitter. And the freezer hadn't been closed.
Oh.
Oh, no. So you lost all of it?
We counted, and it was over, I think it was over 10 pounds. Might have been 12 pounds of breast milk.
Wow.
And we retraced our steps, and I had never been so scared. And we retraced the steps and figured out that it was Christina that had been the last one in the freezer.
Were you, like, terrified that it was like, you?
She had said that if it had been you, I'm not sure what I would have done to you, but it probably wouldn't have been very nice. And
oh,
so
my God.
It was, I mean, it was, wow. It was so crushing for her, man. But she recovered and did it. But that was one of our horror stories I remember from breastfeeding.
Wow.
That is make sure precious. That freezer's closed.
Yeah, that stuff
great,
is.
That's a great tip.
It is. Breast milk is precious liquid gold.
Yeah.
And any chance you have to preserve it, keep it, save it, store it, you know, it's really important.
That wraps up our show for today. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, Newbies for Newly Postpartum Moms, Parent Savers for Moms and Dads with Toddlers, and Twin Talks for Parents of Multiples. This is The Boob Group, where moms know breasts.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health, or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.